Go to the Word Radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I would encourage you in verse 10 to circle the word know. Why? Because God wants us to know him. The Lord wants us to know his works. And I'm not just talking head knowledge. We are in a generation where Google has made us very narcissistic. It's all about us. We think we're a lot smarter than we are because we can Google something and we can shut it down and move on, and we don't even think about it sometimes anymore because we Googled it. And how many times have we gotten an answer off of Google only to find out later that wasn't the right answer? You see, but we don't listen to even that admonition. We don't even take that moment because we don't take it too seriously. We don't take many things too seriously, it seems, in the new generation. It says, there arose another generation that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works of the Lord. And you might also underline the word yet. Why? Because God will never break his covenant. Macrocosm, this is a nation. God has preserved the nation to this very day. Microcosm, your life. You may not know yet, but God will see to it. If you truly trusted Jesus from the bottom of your heart, he will never leave you or forsake you. Ever. The Bible says three things can be done now that I have a relationship with the Lord. The Bible says I can be filled with the Spirit. It says I can grieve the Spirit. And it says I can quench the Spirit. But the one thing I cannot do is lose the Spirit. Because he is the earnest of my inheritance. He is the guarantee that I am going home. I'm so glad. And it is that Holy Spirit who brings conviction. I may quench him. I may grieve him, but I cannot lose him. I do not pray on the same ground that David did in Psalm 51, where he says, take not thy spirit from me. He will never take his spirit from me. He's the earnest. He has sealed me, just like a king sealing a letter. You can't break the seal of the king, and you can't lose the Holy Spirit. He is the engagement ring, the earnest money. If he were to ever give up on me, he would have to give up a portion of himself. It cannot happen. The Bible says that they did not know as yet the works of the Lord, nor the Lord himself. And the Bible says in verse 11 that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. This new generation now is on deck. You and I, we were passed a baton from our parents. It was a skewed view. Okay, it really was a skewed view of things that we can look in history and find to be a clearer view. I think we are very blessed to live in a time where we have access to the histories because we know about the martyrdoms. We've heard of Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can see people who sealed their testimony with their lives. But we also see the Great Awakenings in the 1700s and 1800s. We see that Philadelphian spirit where there were people who literally gave heart and soul to the Lord. Part of it made it such that there was so much of an awakening in the world in which those people lived that they couldn't find buildings enough to hold all the people who wanted to hear about God. Now it's very difficult to get any kind of a revival service going because the people won't come out on the weekdays. Or if they come out, they're not coming out for an entire week. Maybe you could go Sunday through Wednesday. It's very interesting. Reading the Bible, regular church attendance, it's not really on the radar because now we have our ball games in our way and we have all of our things that we need to do. It is a difficult day compared to that day. In that day, they couldn't get enough. In our day, it's always too much. Isn't that interesting? It's always too much. And I say to you, that is a sad reality. And what we have to ask ourselves to become is Philadelphian Christians. We need to be Philadelphian Christians. That means we are people who can't get enough of God. That means reading the Bible because we want to, not because we have to. You may have to start out with the have to's, just like you have to learn your ABCs. That's work. Once you learn your ABCs, you can read a book. Well, I want you to know, if you've got your real ABCs, you can read the book. And it may be hard at first, but just like playing the piano, you might be plinking on the keys a little bit, but after a while, you can play and entertain yourself for hours. The Word of God is like that. You might have a little difficulty at first, but the more you prime the pump, the more you begin to look for things and see things and understand things. And God begins to just rain upon you with the bread of life, like that manna was found in the wilderness. It fed them. You can get manna every day, but tomorrow you got to go get some new stuff. I'm telling you, the paradigms are consistent. Shadows and substance. You and I live in the face of unadulterated light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that believeth in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You and I have been blessed abundantly. We have the histories. We see how it was, but we also see how it's been. When our parents passed it on to us, they were up against a lot of things. Prosperity was on the upswing. My dad left Kentucky, went up to Detroit, working in a Ford plant. When they started building the plant here in Ontario, man, he was one of the first guys to say, yeah, I'll go down and help knock some walls up and do the things that we need to do. And so he came down and they fired every single guy who did that except him and one other guy who were union members at the time, and they couldn't fire him. So he got a job there and he worked that job his entire working life. And boy, was he making bank compared to everybody else through the years. Had little education to speak of. He was never aspiring to that, but he became a tool and die maker. And he lived large. You remember the old saying, two cars in every driveway and a chicken in every pot, those kind of things. This was the upswing. There was never a time like it. The Industrial Revolution, it made us drunk with our own accomplishments. And we began to think we were self-made men and self-made women. And then you had birth control coming into its own, and then the mores of moral purity and all that began to wane, and you had the 60s and free love and all the things that went on with that, and then we legalized abortion. This was what was passed on to us. I was born in 61. By 73, I was 12 years old. Abortion on demand was seen as something acceptable. I still remember in my town when somebody was divorced or shacking up together, those things were frowned upon gravely. In our day, they've done recent studies, 75% of those that were surveyed said that it wasn't that big a deal among Christian evangelicals. So I'm saying we've been bequeathed something, and we were a generation that didn't know the Lord, didn't know the works of the Lord, and as a result of that, we might think we were completely undone, but the Bible says yet. You did see, perhaps, the title of the message, Learning to Fight. You know, the kids need to learn how to fight. And so God has not yet shown Himself and shown His works, but He's about to. Bible says in verse 11, they did evil, they forsook the Lord and followed, verse 12, the gods of the people. They provoked the Lord to anger in verse 12. Circle the word anger here, put a star by it, because this is not the same word as anger you're going to see later. This word has the idea of vexing God. This has the idea of making Him grieved. This has the idea of provoking Him through grief and vexation. When you see the word anger down in verse 14 and the anger there, that has to do with the flaring of the nostrils. You know, when you get angry, maybe there's a big deep breath taken, but somehow it's shown in the nostrils. God is angry there, but here He's vexed. He's vexed because they're doing this. Look at this, verse 11. In the sight of the Lord. They're doing it right in plain sight. They're doing it right in front of Him. You know, sin is like a person who's been taken before a judge and he's a pickpocket and he's pickpocketing the bailiff right in front of the judge. I want to get some mercy here. Let me have some of that. It's crazy because God sees everything. The Bible says that they followed those gods. They did it all in the sight of the Lord. Verse 13, they forsook and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And if you know anything about those two gods, you know that this is all about fertility and the insidiousness of the wickedness I mentioned in Sodom was part and parcel of that entire landmass called Canaan. And the people of Canaan had 400 years, 440 years. Their cup was full. They were culpable. Their children were abused. There was incest. Listen, bestiality was part of their worship. There was child sacrifice going on. There was homosexuality going on. This was a degraded group of people on such a large scale. Listen, there was no pulling it back. When we have Drag 101 in Delaware, Ohio going on and having to be shut down by our legislator, thank God for a legislator who said, oh, it wasn't a joke, man, we need to shut that down. They're getting government money. It's coming, right? Delaware's closer than Dayton. Dayton seems a little fur out there, but this is closer than Columbus. And I want you to know that the young children are being told you can take some hormones and you can become the opposite sex to what you are and be celebrated. You're looking at a generation where children are being stolen and trafficked. You're looking at girls being stolen and trafficked. You're looking at a time where young people are giving themselves up. Because why? Well, because they've not learned how to fight. They've not learned how to fight. The Bible says that the anger of the Lord, verse 14, was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies. You know what he's doing here? He's giving them what they want. They wanted that. They wanted Baal. They wanted Ashtaroth. And so he gave them to it. And therefore they become grieved, vexed, and distressed. The Bible says because they asked to be sold into sin, they were. And the Bible says they could no longer, verse 14, stand before their enemies. I find one of those guys, I think it might be Brian Fisher, bow low before God and you'll stand tall among men, you know, or whatever. You know, they couldn't stand before their enemies because they were no longer weeping over their sin. They were no longer sacrificing for their sin. They weren't going back to the cross routinely. The Bible says wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them, verse 15, and they were greatly distressed. So spoilers spoiled them and their hearts were broken. And the Bible says, nevertheless, underline that, verse 16, God raised up judges. Why? They haven't cried yet. They're just distressed. Because God's tender heart couldn't stand seeing his people so distressed. So he basically stepped around them and raised up a judge. And there is what's going to happen throughout these chapters. He stepped around them. You know, sometimes you'll see your children in a pickle and you'll think, well, that's good for them. And you'll think they'll work it out. But there's a point where you just find them falling apart, crumbling, and you start saying, I need to do something. And that is what's going on here. And the Bible says, yet they would not hearken to their judges in verse 17. And they went a-whoring after other gods. That's a significant word because he says they went after Baal. If you know these words, the word Baal means Lord. And it comes from a word that means owned. And so being sold into sin is part of what happens when you serve Baal. You are owned. Okay? This is what sin does. It binds. It becomes a wicked taskmaster. We see him using the word a-whoring in verse 17, which is clearly an indication of his relationship with them. He didn't own the people. He loved the people. He wooed the people. He carried them on eagle's wings out from under Pharaoh's iron fist. He delivered Pharaoh's army into their hands at the Red Sea. He allowed them to have victory after victory in the land of Canaan under Joshua. God wooed them, and he sees them as his wife. And for them to go a-whoring is the ultimate insult because it's not just that they're not serving him. It's that they're going after something else intentionally, and that is a humiliation to him. Ouch. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.